technology which is failing us. But can we start now? I actually saw that it is on the show outside, but because we are not consulted, it disregarded it. So there should be consultation. To see that, thanks very much for coming, and not only for coming, but for coming on time. That's the first thing, and the second thing, for even bringing the chaperson to support you. I'm sure you'll get all the support that you need from the chaperson and all the delegation. We met somewhere in Pretoria where you had very few minutes, and we made a promise that you'll still have your time in your turn. This is it now. I'm sure you all remember the members that were there, and we all remember the surnames and the names and who's who. But as a procedure, you'll know that I'm chaperson, I'm Kimsan Kamete from KwaZulu-Natal. For my last words, everyone will introduce ourselves. Even if it's people on the from the media, they'll occupy those seats that side. Just occupy those seats that side, people sitting behind us. Yeah, I just sit that side. That space, even for Saroj to move out when she wants to move out. Then, Honorable, for my left, you'll introduce yourself.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. My name is Shiri Chen. I'm presenting for Hao Ten. Thank you.
Education, good morning. I'm Elsa van Lingen, and I represent the Eastern Cape.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jomo Nyambi. I'm from Mpumalanga Province.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Freddie Adams, representing the Western Cape.
Morning, Kenneth van Clay, Northern Cape.
Good morning, Colin.
Roch Naidu, DTI. Lieberg, DTI.
Jana Boyson, PNG.
Jana Boyson, PNG.
Stevenson, Boyan News.
Edwin Conroy, Office of the Chief Whip of the NCOP.
Chief Rob G. Cedar.
Good morning, Robert Bays, CEDA, Special Operations.
Good morning, Lusakma, CEDA.
Linda Mgomezulu, CEDA.
Good morning, Mother Lee's Wokandurin, CEDA.
Good morning, Sana Lalupuana, CEDA.
Good morning, my name is Rupeka Mtilini, the Committee Secretary for this committee.
Thanks very much. We'll hand over to the CEO and the delegation, but due to some programs, if I have to leave, there would be my colleague who would lead this process of chairing this meeting. We have been advised, honorable members, that the screen is not working, so we'll use the hard copies for the presentation. CEO.
Good morning, Chair. The chairman of the board would like to say a few words before I start, if you would allow us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair and members, and thank you very much for inviting us once more to interact with you, yourselves. we're here today really to present the CEDA performance generally, so that we all understand what this organization is all about and what we needed to have achieved by now, and then to put CEDA into perspective. Last time when we met in Pretoria, the DTI campus, one of the key questions that was asked was about the CEDA receiving an adverse audit opinion. I must say that as we meet today, we're very lucky because the subsequent year, we achieved a very clean audit. So we're very glad about that. There still have to be questions, of course, about why we received the previous audit, so that we're able to avoid them going forward. As a board, and I think as CEDA in general, we always wondered why we received the adverse opinion at that point, which was initially a disclaimer that was heavily challenged to a point where it was reduced to that adverse opinion. We still believe that it possibly was unnecessary. It could have been avoided. And the following year, we worked hard with the Auditor General to ensure that there is no misinterpretation of processes as they happen. And we cleaned out on some of the things that had to be cleaned up, and we achieved, therefore, a clean audit. And we, as a board, want to use this opportunity, members, to say that we have a management and executives that are quite competent. CEDA came through a few difficult years, as we all know, having merged two institutions in CEGA and NAMAC, the PPP, and subsequently other programs as well that the DTI initiated. And as a result of that, quite a lot of cultural issues in terms of human resource management and financial resource management became a bit of a difficulty and a serious challenge. And then some of the appointments that possibly were made then were such that they wouldn't be able to make the organization to achieve sound administration and management. And subsequently, as the board realized that there were challenges, a turnaround strategy was adopted by the board, which led to a departure of some of the executives. And at that time, some of the board members had already left due to some of the difficulties that CEDA was going through. However, with the support of the DTI, I think we were able to turn CEDA around when we appointed the chief executive, Ms. Shonela Rupuane, who's seated on my extreme left. Appointment of the chief financial officer, Ms. Marilith Wachendoren, who's seated on my immediate left, and some of the executives that were appointed by the CEO in consultation with the board. I am glad to say that CEDA has turned around. The internal issues are no longer an issue at all. We were very hard at ensuring that we're not taken back to where we've been before. What we are concentrating on now is to ensure that we utilize the opportunities available in the market and everywhere else to ensure that the small enterprises receive the services that they're supposed to be receiving. I might as well at this stage state that while CEDA has serious problems, the provinces and branches of CEDA and regions of CEDA continue to perform without any hindrance. So there was very minimal impact. So what we're doing now is to build on the strength that the CEDA has, which is consisting of 52 branches and some of the sub-branches across 42 branches across the country. I am confident, the chair and the members of the committee, that we have a kind of management that will be able to take CEDA to a much better level with limited resources that are there as a challenge, and which we're hoping that we'll be able to convince the Treasury and everyone else that CEDA's mandate is much bigger than what we are. We believe that in using a transport scenario where kind of a bus that is expected to be a train to carry everyone else, but with limited resources that almost represent a taxi as opposed to a bus. And we, with slight improvement on the resources allocated to CEDA, would be able to deliver possibly a much better service with better coordination. I'll take this opportunity to introduce the CEO, introduce the rest of the delegation. That has already been done. And then do the necessary presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I may just proceed by giving a background, but to be very specific, that we are presenting the annual report for 2008-2009, ending March 2009. Let me begin by saying that we are looking at a period where CEDA was marked by lack of resources, as the chairman had put it. But to be quite specific, as we all know, that CEDA came out of a merger of three institutions that were only a wholesale model, as you will see in my presentation. In other words, there was no network when CEDA was merged. However, when CEDA started rolling out the network of the 42 branches and 8 provincial offices, the budget of CEDA never increased commensurate with the network that started of 42 branches and 8 or 9 provincial offices. The budget was originally 240. It stayed like that. So what characterized CEDA over the period of its operations beginning January 2009 is that you saw an institution that could only function for 6 months and stop working after the budget had been exhausted for all the years it started its operation. Now, that has a bearing in terms of the results and the performance of the institution. I need to mention that upfront. So each of the years that CEDA existed, there was a moratorium on provision of services for a period of 6 months. The other issue that characterizes CEDA over the period is that there was a focus on the merger and restructuring, which, as it was happening alongside the establishment of the network, there was less emphasis on change management issues and organizational culture issues, to a point where the thing that you saw that characterized CEDA, particularly at head office, was as a result of the lack of focus on change management and the proper restructuring, given that you were merging three institutions. Having mentioned that, though, I need to say that the results that I will present are not as dire as the chairman was pointing out, that work continued in the provinces, although it only happened for 6 months, because I think that the skills that are resident at CEDA that emanate from our S2L institutions are one of the key important advantages that we have, as well as the partnerships that have been built over the years, and not to mention the network of 42 branches. We believe that we're a unique institution in that respect. However, I think we get affected by the lack of budget, which has not increased, as I said earlier on. If I may continue with the presentation, you will see those are the delegation details. I won't go into that. The acronyms that we use throughout the presentation, I'm on page 3 now. On page 5, those are the contents. On page 6, you will note, this is the background I was giving, that CEDA was established under the amendment of the Small Business Act of 2004, and we merged three institutions, NZIGA, NAMAC, and the CPPP program. Later on, the Khodisa Incubation Program, the SAQI, the South African Quality Institute, as well as the Technology Transfer Program. The mandate of CEDA in terms of the Act is around implementation of the National Small Business Strategy. It's also around the establishment and design of a network, of the delivery network, which is the 42 branches I mentioned earlier. It's also around integration of all government-funded small enterprise agencies across all tiers of government. I must mention that the third aspect of the mandate is a very, very difficult one. We only do this through partnerships with provinces because we all know that provinces are autonomous, so it's not easy for CEDA to impose. All we do is that we work with whatever agencies in various provinces. And I must say that it's different provinces. It depends on different provinces in terms of these partnerships. The mandate implications are that we've got a national accountability, and also there has been a marked shift from a wholesale model to a retail model where we directly interact with our small businesses, because with the establishment of CEDA, that's basically what government was trying to address. And as well as the increase in the footprint, the creation of a brand, provision of quality products and services, as well as finding win-win partnerships. On slide 9, that's our target market. Our strategy as CEDA, it's basically to focus our energies on the 80% you will see on the small, micro, and survivalist enterprises, and less on the medium-sized enterprises, which we believe that they need less hand-holding and that type of thing. So our efforts in terms of our strategy, and also taking from the government's national small business strategies, is to focus on the micro and the very small and small. On slide 10, that is the network. We've got the national office, 8 provincial branches. We are about to establish a 9th provincial office in Gauteng. The reason being that when we started, we couldn't see that DTI and the provincial government in Gauteng couldn't find a common ground in establishing CEDA. So it didn't work at that time. So it was only a Tshwane branch, but now we're starting to establish a proper office. We are not going to establish a network. I must be upfront about that, because we do not have the budget. We will look at partnerships, but there will be a concerted effort around making sure that even in Gauteng, we do have a presence by way of co-location and using partnerships. We've got 42 branches with an average of about 4 to 5 per province. We've got 58 enterprise information centers. These are institutions like your libraries or any other institutions where there's volumes of people walking in, which we use to distribute our pamphlets, our information, especially in areas where we do not have offices. We've got 4 mobile units, which we use to reach out to areas which cannot be reached. And I must say, these mobile units are units which we establish through partnerships with municipalities, because we said that we've got lack of funds, so we really depend on partnerships to improve on our presence and network. We've got 25 co-location points at local municipalities. We also have 27 incubation centers under the STP program. This is the CEDA technology program. It's currently a ring-fenced program of the DTI, but the DTI has given us a go-ahead now to properly merge STP into a fully-fledged program of the CEDA. That's underway. We only received that letter last month. We are working with the board and the executive committee to make sure that we properly integrate STP going forward. On slide 7, that's the CEDA network. You will see that in the Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, those are all the CEDA branches, the AICs, the STP incubators, co-locations, and the mobile units. On slide 12, those are our human resources. You will see that at national office, we've got 22% of our headcount. At provinces and branches, we've got 72%. And STP, we've got 4.5%. This is a deliberate attempt to make sure that we've got a bias towards the number of people being present at our delivery points. We try to measure the number of people that were at head office, but as people leave, we take a conscious effort as EFCO not to replace some of those people because we couldn't retrench people, but as people are leaving, we take a conscious effort of not replacing them, but rather, especially in support areas like marketing and so on, and information technology, and rather use those resources to beef up our delivery network. Hence, you will see that there's almost 73% headcount at the provinces and branches. Those are our key products. We've got products that are dedicated at our startup clients, your awareness programs, really business planning and registration and cooperatives development. And then around existing clients, we've got your more, let me say, advanced products such as access to markets, export opportunities, technology, finance, sector programs, business mentoring. And lately, we've just, with the Minister, Dr. Rob Davis, we just, as you have seen, we've implemented the hotline to assist with the payment, with the late payment for small businesses by government departments. It's going very, very well. We've got volumes of our small businesses who are calling the hotline. And I must say that the report we are having is that at least government departments are coming to the party, and the turnaround in terms of that hotline is anything between 5 to 7 days to resolve some of these issues. In terms of our CEDA technology program, we've got business incubation, which is one of our very successful programs because business incubation in the world over, we know that it reduces the mortality rate of small businesses. We've got these business incubators, there's 27 of them across the country and across various sectors. We've got the technology transfer program. We've got a quality program and the technology for women in business. This is a program also that was transferred to us from the DTI, the TWIB, but currently it doesn't have a budget allocated to it. On slide 17, I'm not going to go through that. That is the background I gave earlier on about the moratorium, the organizational restructuring, and also currently there's the economic crisis that is also affecting small businesses and the organizational reengineering that is currently underway at CEDA, which is really looking at making sure that we focus on delivery, we focus on frontline staff, we focus on capacity building of our business advisors. I'm happy to say that with the help of the Taiwanese government on Friday, 25 of our business advisors left for Taiwan for a proper training, not only on quality service delivery for small business, to understand the diagnostic tools, how to assist small businesses, as well as to pick up some soft skills because Taiwan is one of the countries that is known for service delivery, and really the culture around service in the country is quite good. So 25 of our business advisors left on Friday. They are going to spend 7 days there. They are coming back. And another group, 25 business advisors, are going to leave towards the end of November for Brazil for the same kind of training. I must say that as CEDA, because of these international partnerships, we really pay less. We don't pay for the actual training. We just pay for some minor expenses that we are covering. We hope that this is going to really re-engineer our quality services that we deliver and products for our small businesses. In terms of the leadership, the chairman spoke about the appointment of the CEO, which is myself. I was appointed with effect from the 1st of May this year, but I was sent to CEDA exactly a year last year, where I acted from about October, and I was appointed in May. with very, very specific issues to look at, having been sent by the former minister and the chairman. And I'm happy to say all the issues that I was personally sent to look at, which is organizational restructuring, the turnaround in terms of the finances. The chairman spoke about the unqualified audit report and a number of issues. Those are behind us. We are really looking at service delivery now. The appointment of additional board members also helped to beef up the board. The appointment of the executive management with the CFO. I'm happy to say that I believe that we really have a team of executives that is equal to the task. That's why today we talk about an unqualified audit report. Immediately the CFO came in. We had we implemented as the financial management improvement plan to look at all the issues that were raised by the Auditor General, even in terms of our internal audit. That's why we talk about an unqualified audit report today. On slide 19, we are currently looking at repackaging of SIDA programs and products and services. The board took a very conscious decision of limiting the use of consultants because that is what, to a large extent, affected the quality of services that SIDA was providing. We are doing this on a sliding scale because not all our business advisors are capacitated enough to take on these services. That's why we are doing it alongside a program of capacitating business advisors. You will see as the years go by that it's a sliding scale as they get trained and graded on different levels. We will be limiting the use of consultants to about, let's say, 20% of our services, those that are highly technical that cannot be provided internally. But for the bulk of our basic services like business plans, export development, training and mentoring, we believe those should be provided internally by SIDA. So that we can have control in terms of the quality of service and products. We can also track our small businesses in terms of development. And I must say that the board is quite strict on this. Even the current the business plan for this current year that is underway, it's really looking at very, very specific things like the growth of small businesses. What impact have we had on small businesses? What are the sustainability levels? So that our contact with small businesses, it's in terms of what we call in inverted commas a client journey rather than a once-off assistance so that we can know the impact. We can also know eventually what we are buying with the money that SIDA is investing in small businesses. I spoke about partnerships earlier. We've got partnerships with Belgium. We've got partnerships with Brazil. That's why we are sending people there. We also have partnerships with India, Brazil and India in terms of governments, IPSA, but I must say that SIDA had a partnership with Brazil and India. It preceded government and the president's IPSA program, but now it has since been integrated into the president and government's IPSA program. TechnoNet Africa and TradePoint, this is what we use for our export development and trade opportunities for our small businesses. Also, I mentioned the Taiwan program, which we also use for capacity building of our frontline staff. I must say that even our branch managers are going to follow later on, but I think the focus currently is for the people who are servicing, who are at the coalface and servicing small businesses. We currently have 534 staff members, and we are also implementing a very rigorous performance management system. This year underway, our business plan is very, very, very different. As I mentioned earlier, that our focus now is on the graduation of small businesses, let's say from informal to formal, from small. It also focuses on the growth of small business in terms of how many employees would they have employed as a result of interventions by SIDA? What is the turnover increase? Those types of things. It's a departure from the current thing that I'm presenting. You will see as years go by that the focus is really around impact and the kind of interventions and change that we are making at the level of the small business as a result of our intervention. In terms of the performance highlight, really going into the annual report itself, We had about 199,830 small businesses that accessed our network in terms of the year that I'm presenting, 08-09, which is a 7.3% increase from the year before. 46,695 client needs were assessed. 14,000 clients have been assisted in the year that I'm presenting. The main interventions where also we exceeded our targets were around business planning, around business registration, around cooperative support, and around access to markets. The progress on national programs around sector work were heavily affected by the moratorium that I mentioned earlier on. And I must say that the reason why we were able to even deliver on some of these programs is as a result of partnerships that we have with provinces and municipalities. Because I mentioned earlier on that we were only able to do work for only for 6 months, but the 6 months afterwards was affected by the lack of budget. And then what we also did when I arrived at CIDA, this is one program that we revived, the CPPP program. This program is going to be focusing a lot around collective-owned businesses like your cooperatives and community-owned projects. This is one program that we've revived. In the year currently underway, we will be able to report at the end of the financial year how much work we've managed to achieve in terms of this program. On slide 21, you'll see that we've disaggregated the information in terms of client walk-ins. You will see that KZN is the one province that is having volumes of people taking about 19% of our client walk-ins, followed by the Northwest and followed by the Eastern Cape, the Free State, and so on. It is not surprising about KZN because we know that that is a province that has volumes of people. So it's even reflected in terms of our client walk-ins. So I may proceed to slide 22. You will see that it's a same pattern emerging, that 23% of clients registered came from KZN, followed by... Sorry, let me just... KZN followed by Free State, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape, and so on. On slide 23, these are now clients that we've worked with. These are now clients that are on our database that we've assisted. I must explain that the issue of converting a business idea into a client that you'll be working with, it's quite an involved process, and it's not easy because you will see later on in my presentation that because we have a high unemployment rate in South Africa, the issue of small business then becomes second nature. Then people walk to our offices because they've got nothing to do. And those people form about 40% of people who visit our branches. We can't turn them away. We spend a lot of time with them trying to get to the kind of issues that they deal with, but in the end, they do not, 40% of those people do not eventually start businesses. So that's why you'll see that it's a filtering through process up until it gets to clients working with, as you can see on slide 23. On slide 24, as I said, that business registrations, business plans, access to markets, and cooperative support, those are the four products and services where we performed in terms of our the numbers. And you will see that is the breakdown in terms of the different provinces. In terms of the CIDA technology program, which I mentioned earlier, that it has been a reference program of the DTI, two new incubators were established. Also, in terms of the incubator program, the manner in which we establish incubators across provinces, it depends on the interest of the province and funds or municipalities that are willing to come to the party. Because it's in provinces, we really believe that it's got to be driven by the provinces. But I must say that within CIDA technology itself, we really have the skills across very many sectors. 835 clients were supported through this program, 224 new small businesses were created, in excess of 1,000 direct jobs were created, 5,000 indirect jobs, and that is the total turnover of assisted SMEs, 129 million. This is just a snapshot of a survey that we did early this year of taking a random sample of 902 clients out of a population of 20,000 clients that are on our database, selecting across the provinces. We just wanted to see the impact that SIDA has on our clients. This is not part of the annual report, but I just thought that for the benefit of the honorable members, this is would be quite good to see what the impact is in terms of our services. The first bullet point, you will see that it's the point I made earlier, that we now know that 40% of the people that receive or get to our branches, they never become operational. These are people who we call your necessity entrepreneurs or the unemployed or the people who are just looking for something to do because they can't find employment. Our service offering is really on business registration. There is willingness of people wanting to start businesses. As you know, that as SIDA, we are providing this service free of charge on behalf of CIPRO because we have a network. We see that there's a lot of people who are willing to start businesses. So 80% of operational clients, I must mention, and this is a very, very good feedback, and this survey was done by an independent service provider. 80% of clients who are operational, they do mention that SIDA has had a very positive impact on their businesses, especially in the area of that is not staff turnover, it's in the area of the increase in staff numbers and turnover in terms of the business. Sorry, it was supposed to be a comma. They're in the area of staff numbers, comma, turnover, sales and customers. The other point that has been mentioned is that these clients of ours do mention that SIDA makes an impact when it's a variety of services that are provided. In other words, it can't just be, say, for example, export development. It's going to be export development. It's going to be training and mentoring. It's going to be, there must be an add-on. So it means that this is going to require a lot of hand-holding and really sitting down with our clients. So a lot of our business advisors are going to have to take a lot of time sitting with one client. So I think this is going to have an effect in terms of the clients that we are able to service, because if it means that our business advisors must spend a lot of time, then they must have quality time with fewer small businesses for us to make an impact. 59% of the clients that we've serviced are sustainable because of SIDA services. That's close to 60%. 40% are vulnerable and they need more assistance, more hand-holding in terms of financial management as well as issues around cash flows and so on. Slide 27, that's our voted funds that we've been allocated. This point cannot be emphasized enough. We really cannot work with a budget of 331. The 408 that you saw in 08-09 is that when I arrived at SIDA towards the end of last year, I really had to make a plea to DTI to give us additional funding. They managed to find an additional 100 million. That's why you see a 408, but it has dropped in this current financial year to 331. So that baseline is not enough. The CFO can back me up that we sit at ExCo trying to tear this budget apart, trying to make sure that the numbers do not add up in terms of the 331. It is a major, major problem in terms of SIDA achieving its objectives in terms of the business plan. However, we also went back this year to plead with National Treasury and DTI to make sure that they give us additional funding. We have been promised some additional funding to patch up, but I must say that this situation, it doesn't augur well for planning, because if you are given 331 and then later on in the year you are given an additional 50 or 100, you can't plan properly. So when you get the money, you must just look for projects that you can fund. So For proper planning and for proper functioning of the institution, there must be a proper baseline budget for the institution to plan and track its performance against the pre-approved budget. So that's the issue that I think with the help of the SILAS Committee and the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, it's an area where we need a lot of support. In terms of future planning on slide 28, we really in terms of the current business plan, it's very, very rigorous, and I think the board and the executive team have really done a sterling job in making sure that our business plan and strategy for this year and the years ahead, it focuses on service delivery. There's a lot of these independent surveys and surveying our clients to say where can we improve, what are the areas where we need to improve, where we're excelling, and so on. As I said earlier also, there's a lot of focus on client performance in terms of graduation, growth, and sustainability, where we must stay with our small businesses for a considerable period of time for us to establish these issues. We also have an in-house Cedar Learning Academy, which is training our businesses and our frontline staff, and it's responsible for all these international programs and on soft skills and other programs, so that we have really have skilled business advisors to talk about. Increased outreach and partnerships, we are really big on this. You will see at the end of this financial year when we are reporting, there's a lot of private sector clients that we're dealing with. I'm happy to announce that we've just signed a partnership with Old Mutual. They will be offering finances through our SIDA offices to a value of about $5 million for small businesses. They've also promised to offer grants for our community public-private partnership. So that's one partnership, major partnership that we're able to sign off. You will see more of these partnerships from state-owned enterprises and your public sector to increase our outreach, to increase our value for service offerings to our clients. We also have established an internal monitoring and evaluation system within the Office of the CEO. This was done with the help of our partnerships with the Finnish government. They've sent a consultant, and also they've allocated funds. We've bought a new IT system and software, and we're training people using the Finnish funds to establish this M&E to look at all these new areas of performance around our frontline staff, around graduation of small businesses, around client performance, and all those things. So it's going to be done in-house, and this is in preparation for the fact that we know that government and Auditor General are going to focusing on performance of the institutions. So as CEDA, we are a step ahead. We've established this internal M&E unit with the help of our Finnish partners. Support systems, IT systems, are improving this with the help of with the budget from the Finnish government, so that our business processes are easier to manage. And we will see that even in terms of the media and outreach to the public, we've got quite an aggressive communication strategy, because we also noticed that CEDA is not well known. So we'll be using a lot of radio, we'll be using a lot of community radio stations and local newspapers, so that our CEDA is known, what kind of services, where can people access our services. So these are all our future plans in terms of the way forward. That's where I'll end, Chair, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thanks very much. Honorable members, I'm sure the CFO would come in when there are questions, and all the other executives, but particularly the CFO, because it was mentioned that we got a CFO. So she must be having something, really, that brought in some changes. Honorable members, some members have been asking me all these weeks. We gave CEDA 10 minutes last time. I think you had all the minutes that you wanted now. We can engage with CEDA. Honorable Nyambi, you can start and break the ice. Honorable Sinclair after that.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome this comprehensive report. I've got some few questions in this first round. We all agree that small enterprise hold key to economic growth in our country. Even if you can go through the report, you'll also get that. But as a person coming from Mpumalanga, when we met with SEDA, even though we gave them less minutes in Gauteng, we raised this issue of being rural bias, and even the deputy minister in the report is raising the very same thing. But coming from Mpumalanga and reading the report of SEDA saying you'll have SEDA in Nelspruit, you'll have SEDA in Malelane, you are still not assisting those rural people. Because, to cite a practical example, if you go to Nkomazi, you have almost more than 500,000 of people. And it means all those people have to go to take more than 100 kilometers and go to Madelane, more than 300 to go to Nelspruit. Then I'm asking myself a question, what is it that makes it impossible to have an office in those, you may not be in every rural village, but having a strategy of making sure that we are very close to the very same people who are intending to assist. The second question that I have, when the budget was frozen, there are some contracts that were cancelled. Maybe a little bit of elaboration about the financial implications of that. Then my other question, it's in relation to the first launch of the Entrepreneurs Day in three provinces. Which are those provinces? Do you have up-to-date fixed asset register? That's my fourth one. Maybe the last one in this round, Chairperson. You have a presentation where the client register is less than the clients working with. Maybe if I can be clarified to understand it better, maybe I'm interpreting wrong. You indicated in terms of a percentage client register vis-a-vis clients working with, but in this instance, you have the clients working with being less than the client register. Last, Chair. If the involvement of consultants can be clarified in terms of percentage, if you are using them, can you qualify them maybe in terms of percentage to say we are using this much? Thanks for now, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think we all agree that it seems that there was a major turnaround in terms of what transpired earlier with the SEDA offices nationally and provincially and where we stand now. And certainly one can applaud that. Being involved to a lesser or greater degree with the activities of SEDA, however, tells us that there is, in terms of the rollout, as the colleague said, regarding the rural area, serious challenges. Now, I'm also from a rural province which got its own dynamics. The reality is you can't have a SEDA office in each little settlement in South Africa. So the answer lies in partnerships with various role players. Now, if I look essentially at the mandate of SEDA, it is to be first and primarily be a partner of a potential entrepreneur to assist and support a business enterprise. That seems to me the primary objective. from government's perspective. The reality is that the other partners in the private sector, the banks and the other people that loan out money and so on, is not very supportive in terms of these small entrepreneurs. And you experience it on a daily level where people go to banks, they come with some sort of business plan, and then the banks firstly would have a problem with the business plan, and secondly, once the business plan is completed, they will have some or other problem with the credentials of the entrepreneur. I'm raising this to say that the partnership element of CEDA's involvement is of crucial importance for the success of CEDA as an entity. The one element that I'm missing in terms of your presentation and also in terms of your annual reports, which I'll speak about now, is the engagement of local government, local authorities, in terms of the rollout. And we all know that each province has got a provincial strategy, economic strategy, and district municipalities and municipalities to some lesser or greater degree has got some economic guidance. So the question that I want to raise is, wouldn't it be necessary to seriously engage local government in terms of the rollout of the activities of CEDA? The second issue is the issue about consultants. Once again, I can only give a Northern Cape perspective. The current situation with the CEDA office is that, I wouldn't say the activities came to a standstill, but when the consultants weren't there anymore, the staff of CEDA, with due respect, wasn't capacitated to deal firstly with the volume, but secondly with the quality of the business plan. Now, I'm happy to hear that there's some serious training and interaction and so on. So the second point that I want to make is, yes, all of us agree that there might be a problem with using consultants and so on, but wouldn't it be better to have a structured transition to where you want to be, instead of just cut off the consultants completely and say, consultants, don't assist us anymore? The third issue, Chairperson, that I want to raise is your annual report. Now, the first thing in terms of the annual report is CEDA is in financial terms a relative small institution. Is it necessary to have a board of 15 board members? And I know the minister is the prerogative of the minister and the government and so on, but it seems to me that, I don't know, I counted 15 directors. Is it necessary to have such a big board? Because we're talking about cost savings. You're telling us all the time you don't have money. And I was just thinking as I was hearing that issue, maybe you, as a side remark, you must tell us when you fly. Do you fly business class or economic class? Because you first start cutting costs at home. That's where you start. Then, if I can look at the back of the statements, the issue about the remuneration of the board members. On page 83 of your annual report and the financial statements, there was a point two there, A.N. Damani, which had a certain travel allowance, cell phone allowance, and a salary, and that then there was a other, which was 1.48 million. What was that for? Because you would see that it's quite a big chunk of the remuneration of the board members. Then, the second issue that I want to raise and in the annual statements on page 90, note 22, irregular expenditure. The chairperson and the CEO indicated that there was a big turnaround from 2008 and 2009, which is right, but there was supply chain management irregular expenditure of close to 3.6 million. That's in terms of the statement. I don't know, it's standing here. CFO. So maybe you must respond. Page 90 of this report. And then the third issue in terms of this, I see that there's a board member with a surname of Feinstein. Now, to my best knowledge, Mr. Feinstein stays overseas. And if you look at the, what's his name, if you, I can't exactly see it now here, but if you look at the cost for traveling, you would see that Mr. Feinstein's traveling allowance is much higher than the other board members. It's in your breakdown somewhere. I've picked it up. So, yeah. Let me just see here. Yeah, on page 84. Now, I don't know if we... CEO, I don't know if you're reading out of the same book, but page 84, it says there, point 6, MJ Feinstein, traveling 136,000. So the point that I want to make is, if Mr. Feinstein is not living in South Africa anymore, why is he on the board? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable May.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions are on the... My first question, two questions, are on the annual report, on the Auditor General's findings. On page 6.